Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in a series right now. Most of you know it's called The God of Miracles. And, you know, my hope in this series has really just to be to make moving in the miraculous as normal as it's supposed to be. Talk about it in the mundane and the day-to-day, that miracles aren't just those five cool stories you'll have over the course of 60 years of following Jesus. That one time God showed up, we've got to get way past that. And talking about miracles is part of the way that God interacts with us. To make it as normal as possible, because it's supposed to be normal. You know how many times miracles happen in the Bible and there's no, like, crazy, the world stops, I can't believe God just did this right after? Because it was just a normal Tuesday. It was just what people expected. Like, I love the ones that are the showstoppers, but I love the fact that God is a miraculous God in the ins and outs of everything in life, and we need to be thinking about Jesus as the miracle-working God. Every day, we need to be training our kids. It's normal to pray for the Super Nintendo to work, and it starts working. We need to be training our kids that way. We need to be training our kids that it's normal to ask God to speak to them, and then God speaks. It's normal. That's what the people, we're the people of God. We're not the people of religion. We're not the people of an institution. We're the people of God. We're special. We have privileges. We have access. So we ought to be training the children, you and me. We ought to be training the children how normal it is to have miracles be part of life. And so I'm so grateful for the history that I'm so thankful, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the history that I have in the Lord to be able to share with you the most normal miracles, the most day-to-day experiences, not to provoke you, mostly to model it for you, to go, this is how normal this can be. This is how simple and routine, though totally not routine because it's a miracle, but how part of life, that's a better way to say it, how part of life miracles could, should, ought to be. And so today, this is session 12, and guys, I'll just tell you, we're like halfway through. We got a long way to go. We're going to camp out on miracles for a good long while. I got stories to tell, okay? I was like, let's just tell them all. I mean, I've been doing the best I can to kind of approach this from a different angle each week. This is session 12, and this one's entitled, The Holy Spirit Uses the Word of God. And I want to talk about the God of miracles using the Bible to talk to us, and that it's miraculous. But often it's miraculous in a way that I don't know that we recognize, that we don't give credit to, that we don't anticipate, that we don't expect and engage and pull on God to speak that way. And I want to talk about the miraculous ways that the Lord uses the Word of God, Holy Spirit. First, I'm going to give us a couple of verses. I'm so grateful that the Lord speaks in so many different ways. I mean, you know, he did speak through a donkey, at least once. You know, through a donkey. I mean, if you can speak through a donkey, you can do whatever you want. You can speak any way you like. There are no limits if you chose to open a donkey's mouth, okay? The Lord speaks in many ways. And we're going to focus today, mostly, on him speaking through the word. But I just want to get our minds just kind of focused a little bit broad. Let's put up that Job 34, 14, and then the Psalm 95. Job 34 says, "For God does speak. Now one way, now another, though no one perceives it." I don't want to not perceive it. I don't want to miss it. What that communicates is that there are many times he's speaking, but we're not hearing him. Maybe because our ears aren't tuned enough. Maybe because we didn't know what to listen for. But he was speaking, though no one perceives it. No one perceives it. I don't want to be the no one. I want to be the one guy or the, you know, I want to be the one with the listening ear that we're perceiving it. But notice that he speaks one way, now another, now through a donkey. He speaks whatever way he wants. He speaks many different ways. We need to be anticipating the fact that our God is real and he's a talker and he speaks. So if he speaks, we want to be those that perceive it. We want to hear it. I love this verse in Psalm 95. It also shows up a couple times in the New Testament. This picture being recapped from the Exodus. It says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is God and we are the people of his pasture. I wanted to include that part of the verse, not just go right to the God speaks part, because I think there's a significant amount of information that he's speaking that requires us to have the revelation that we need to approach him. Come, let's go to him. Let's talk to him. Let's kneel before him. Let's praise him. Let's pray. Let's engage. Let's, as the people of God, let's engage him. That's how we hear him speak. We engage him. Second, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. You know, I was saying, I opened up a minute ago. We're the people of God. We're different. We belong to God and God talks. We ought to engage him and expect that he's going to talk. We're his people. We're his flock. We're different. We're different. We have God. We didn't before. Man, do I remember those days. We have God. This is great. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the desert. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden his hearts. Don't harden your hearts. But also, don't miss it. Don't ignore it. Don't be so dull that you can't perceive. Today, if you hear his voice, as though we ought to be hearing his voice, as though it's just a normal part of life because he's a God who talks. He's a God who talks. We want to be people that have encounters hearing God talk all the time. Not once a year, 1,000 times a year. But he speaks one way and now another. He speaks quiet enough you can miss it. We want to be those that are not missing it, that are engaged in the conversation. Now, today we're just going to focus mostly on him speaking through the word. But I wanted to give us the starting point. He speaks many ways. Today we're going to talk about the miracle of him using an old book to talk. Because that's bizarre. That might be stranger than a donkey. Okay? At least a donkey has a mouth. I mean, a book don't have a mouth, but this one does. The word of God is alive and active. You know the verse, but we need to understand what this means. Put up the Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is alive and active. No book is alive and or active. Books are books, not this book. The word of God is alive. God's in the book. The word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. I'm in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. Sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates. The Bible penetrates. Even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God speaks to us through his word. I don't exactly have this theology right, so if I say it a little wrong, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. God is the Bible, sort of. You think he's in there? It's him? It's like, there. He's in this somehow. It's alive. His spirit's resting on this book. Not just like on it like some days and not on other days. It's in the print. His spirit is in it. It's alive. It's active. Books are not alive and active, but this one is. It's alive and active. His spirit's in there. His spirit searches all things. His spirit knows you. He knows me, knows circumstances. So we can actually fellowship with God by the Bible. That is crazy. This is not religion. This is not read your Bibles, people. That's what good Christians do. That is completely missing the point. God is in here. He's in this book. I don't completely understand how that works, but it's alive and active, and the only way you can make an inanimate object live and active is God. He says, I'm in there. I'm in the words. I'm in the pages. I'm in the numbers. I'm in the letters. It's alive and active. There's something supernatural about this book. That God is in there and he speaks through it. It is the most bizarre thing to me. Every time it happens and I have a revelation, oh my gosh, you're speaking to me through a book. Not I see good ideas in a book, a list of how-tos. Don't do this, that's stupid. Do this, it's a good idea. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person who's God communicating to me in a way that I know it's God talking. But he's talking through a book. It's so crazy. It's crazy. Well, let me give you part of our problem, and I'm just wanting to invite us into a journey here. Having spent a little bit of time in some countries, and one in particular, where I didn't know the language. Kind of difficult to learn Bambara, by the way. It didn't natively come to me. Spent some time in Mali, and I didn't just catch it, you know? I didn't just catch on. And I can tell you, there's all sorts of problems that happen when you don't know the language. There's so many little moments you can't communicate well. People just look at you and throw their hands up. I don't know how many times people just threw their hands up, totally frustrated at me. I mean, that happened all the time. You misinterpret what's happening around you. It's really painful because you're like totally the foreigner. You're totally the outsider, you know? You miss out on all sorts of opportunities. Like, free food, stand here. But it's in a language you don't know. So you're like, oh, weird sign. You just keep going, wonder what all those people are doing. You miss out. Like, you miss out on stuff because you don't know the language, right? Painful. You can end up in dangerous situations because you don't know the language. You know, there's a warning. Don't go down that street. You'll die. You'll die. You're like, okay, have a great day. They're waving, don't. And you're like, yeah, bro. Amen. You know, you end up in dangerous situations. We need to learn his language. His language is the Bible. It's not the only way he speaks, but it is a primary, if not the primary. So much so that he anointed the book with his spirit and put himself into the words, into the letters, into the pages. But if we don't know the language, I mean, I was still able to get around, sort of, in Bamako, in the capital of Mali. I was still able to kind of get around, sort of, but not really. I wasn't really operating like a normal person. Okay, I mean, I was very much an outsider, it was clear, you know. We want to be those that know the language of God. And the only way to learn that language, just think about that context of being in whatever country, you got to kind of be there for a while. You got to kind of study it a little bit. Ask some questions, write some stuff down, learn. Actively engage your learnership. You've got to actively engage in learning the language or you'll not learn that language. You got to learn it. Guys, the word of God is the language of God, and he wants to use it. But if he's saying, stay away, and you're trying to give him a high five because you don't know the language, it's like that. We need to learn the language. So part of today's message related to the supernatural capacity of God speaking through his Bible, you won't hear it if you don't know it. You won't recognize what's being communicated. And there's only one way to know it. It's lots of time. That's the only way. There's no fast track. It's lots of time. It's just, I mean, start allocating some time and then do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow until you run out of tomorrows. That's the only way to learn the language, and you can get 201 and 301 and 1201 and 1901. You can just keep getting more and more clarity in the Word of God. The more that we spend time there, the easier it is for us to fellowship with the Lord related to the Word of God. The more language we've got for him to pull on and for him to be able to speak to us through. I'm going to share some stories today that are very like day-to-day kind of stories where God used the Word, the Bible, to minister to me, to speak to me, to lead me, to help me, to do things in my life that were powerful, that were meaningful to me. Even to this day, some of these stories. He uses the word. One of the ways, and we were even practicing this a week or two ago in our ministry time. One of the ways, and this is, when this lands, it is like, it's befuddling when this lands right. We were doing this in a practice or a ministry time a couple weeks ago. When you pray and the Holy Spirit drops a Bible address into your heart, into your mind. You just see it. You hear it. You know it. You don't know what the verse is. You just get an address. Just like, you know, Psalm 36. And it's like, does Psalm 3 even have six verses in it? You don't even know it until you go look it up. And then you look at it and you go, Psalm 36. I have no idea what that verse is, by the way. It's like, it's crazy when the Lord just drops a Bible verse. Not even the verse, the address. You tracking with me? That's a way he speaks. I'll share a couple of those stories here in a little bit. One of the ways that he speaks, and we need to not despise this. We need to not despise this. It's if you're in a friendship, they don't talk much, and every now and then they whisper, and they just say a few words. You want to cherish those words, not say, my friend never talks to me. You want to cherish those words. We need to learn that when the following situation happens, it's God talking to us. How many times when you've been reading the word, been reading the Bible, and it's a passage maybe you've read a bunch of times before. Maybe you're unfamiliar with it. Maybe you've read it a bunch. And all of a sudden your eyes are opened and you understand what it says. You didn't understand it before and now you understand it. That's the Holy Spirit helping your dumb brain know what the Bible says, and you didn't get there by yourself. God was helping you. The Holy Spirit was talking to you. We don't want to dismiss that. Oh, I'm so smart. No, you're not. You're an idiot like me. You're not that smart. God is that good. God is that sweet. The Holy Spirit is instructing us. You don't know how to read the Bible. You might know how to go through the motions and like read it like a book. It's not a book. It's alive and active. That is the scariest kind of book I can imagine. Who wants to read a book that can bite you? And like talk like, this book is different. We don't read it the way we read a book. This book reads us back. This book talks. This book speaks. This book is alive and active, and that is incredible and terrifying all at once. You're in one of those moments, and all of a sudden, you just understand it. Or maybe you're reading a phrase, and some idea that you're reading in that passage, some phrase stands out to you in a fresh way that it never did before, to the point where you say in your spirit, I think that's wisdom. I'm going to actually try to do that next time. Next time I'm in a situation where that applies, I'm going to actually try to do that thing. It's an idea that you didn't have a minute ago. You got it from the word, but you didn't get it from the word because you read the verses. You got it from the word because when you read those verses, the Holy Spirit breathed on it in your spirit. And you went, I think that's wisdom. I'm going to try to do that next time. I'll just give it to you really simple. It's the Bible verse that just, it won't quit. It's Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, there he is again, Father, to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. The spirit of wisdom, the application of truth. You're reading the Bible, there's a truth. Oh my goodness, I can see how I can apply that in my life. That's wisdom. I'm going to actually try to do that next time. That's not because you're smart. And it's not because the words were written there. It's because the words are alive and they're active and they're touching your spirit. Secondly, revelation. You've been reading that passage, I don't know how many times, you had no clarity on it at all. And all of a sudden now, I know what that phrase means. I understand this parable. I understand what's being spoken. That's the spirit of revelation resting on you. It's God talking to you. It's him talking. It's his language. It's the way he speaks. We want to stop and go, oh, thank you for talking. Thank you for saying stuff to me. It's supernatural. It's life-changing because if you'll do the thing that you just learned, that he just spoke, that he just inspired, your life will go better. And if you don't do it, your life will go worse. And you get to choose because he talked to you. And the word of God says, now if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not dismiss it. Don't go on dumb. Operate in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Operate in the clarity of what he just gave you. Your life will be better. Your life will be better. Don't ignore it. Operate in it. Oh, I love it when he does that. How about bringing a Bible concept to mind? Now listen, I'm not going to say it can't happen. I'm just going to say it's never happened to me. That I read a book, you know, or watched a movie, and then later in life, I'm in a situation, and all of a sudden I'm remembering back that passage in that book or that scene in that movie, and I'm going, I know what to do in this situation. I'm going to do what I saw in the movie. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that thing I read in that book. That's not how life works. That's not how life works. But I don't know how many times I've been in a situation where I'm in a moment, I'm in a conversation, I'm in a conflict, I've got an obstacle, and all of a sudden, an idea. But it's a Bible idea. It's not like God spoke something totally abnormal. I just was reminded of a Bible concept. I was reminded of one of the fruit of the Spirit. I was reminded of humility. But I'm reminded from the word, and there's power on it, and I go, that's what I ought to do right now. I ought to respond in this situation according to that Bible idea. But it's not because I sat around going, I need a Bible idea, think real hard, Brett. It's, I've got the word of God dwelling within me. I've got it written on my heart. And now the Holy Spirit can use what's there because I know some of the language. He can use it, and it's alive, and it's active, and I'll be darned. That's exactly the way I need to handle this situation. I need to do that fruit. I need to do that thing. I need to follow that Bible idea. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. It's supernatural. It's crazy. When these moments happen, it's the application of the Word of God in real time and space, because the word is alive and active. We need to be training ourselves and our children. This is just how it is. We're the peculiar people of God, and we have the Bible, and God talks through it. He'll actually tell us how to handle situations, what to do, what not to do, drop a little idea into our heart. Sometimes he'll draw our attention to a Bible verse. This is another one of those. I've heard different people say different things and different, I've had different experiences too. I don't know how many times the Lord uses the verse of the day for my wife. It's just the funniest thing. I mean, whatever the verse of the day is, it's like, it's the anointed word for her. Just almost 9 times out of 10. I mean, it's like, and she'll go looking for them. You know, verse of the day on Bible Gateway, verse of the day this. I mean, she'll take a fortune cookie. I mean, she just wants a verse of the day, all right? And whatever verse of the day, she just, it like speaks to her. And I'm like, dang, that's so cool. I've had that happen like once. All right, but for my wife, verse of the day is her jam, okay? It's the Lord using the word of God, drawing our attention to a Bible verse that we weren't going to otherwise find that day. We weren't going to necessarily find it in the word that day, but it finds us somewhere or the other. Could be a bumper sticker at just the right moment. Could be, you know, maybe it's the verse on the bumper sticker, maybe it's a theme of the bumper sticker and the Lord's speaking. You keep coming across a phrase or a theme in the word. There have been seasons in my life, I've seen this a number of times, where the Lord's trying to talk to me about something, and it just seems like no matter where I wind up in the Bible, there is that theme again. There it is. Again, I'm in Deuteronomy. How did that get into Deuteronomy? I didn't know there was anything in Deuteronomy. But it's in there. And now I'm over here, now I'm over here. And I just keep finding the same theme jumping out at me. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. It's the Word of God, alive and active. We've got to start attributing supernatural characteristics to the Bible like we attribute to God the Father, because it's His book. And when we think God the Father, we would like give full reign for Him to be miraculous and do crazy things that are impossible. The Bible could do the same stuff. It's His word. His word is alive and active. It's crazy how it can show up in our lives in the most bizarre ways. Someone brings up a Bible verse in your conversation. It's the very thing you were reading that morning. How many times has that happened? Oh, it's just coincidence. That's dumb. Dismiss that idea. It's God. And it's God trying to highlight to you, yeah, that was me this morning. You missed it. It's actually in his kindness, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. He's saying it again. You're like, oh. Hey, can we pause this conversation? I need to go sit in the corner and cry for a minute. I'll be right back. It's the Lord talking. He talks to us. I'll just say this. If you feel like I don't ever hear God speak, you need to be in the Word of God more. The Bible will help fix a lot of our problems, including our fellowship with the Holy Spirit issue. The Word of God will help us. It's God in the book. It's his book. It's God's word. It's crazy how this works. It is crazy. Well, just a great example of that. I shared it just a few weeks ago, but I'm so marked by it that I was on the way to the prayer room to preach a message about a very specific thing. And I asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to me about how I'm supposed to, you know, just give me some more insight about this thing I'm going to teach on tonight. Give me some insight. And right as I pray that, a car drives by and there's this sticker decal on the side of the car that says Psalm 91. The very second right after I prayed it. And I look and I went, well, I'll be darned. That is exactly where I need to be. And I went and looked at it. And I read the passage. It was a passage that I already knew. There's a passage that could, there's probably no passage in the whole Bible that would have ministered to the specifics of what I was going to teach on that night than Psalm 91. It was crazy. But it's really not. Because it's the language of God. But also notice, I was engaging him. I'm not just waiting for God to talk whenever he wants to talk, though he does. I want to hear that. I would be completely dissatisfied, especially as an extrovert, if I had to wait for you to talk to me. Because some of y'all would avoid me. I'll hunt you down. And I will engage you. And we will chit-chat. And if you won't chat, I'll chat twice as much till you start responding. Okay, this works with God. He loves his children talking his ear off and then learning to pause and let him talk back. And often he does give only small phrases, little words, little Bible addresses, but he wants us talking to him. We need to learn how to engage him and say, talk to me. And I love your word, so use it. Or use anything. You can talk to a donkey if you want to. But I'll be happy with the Bible. The donkey's a little scary. Plus, then I have to go tell somebody and they're never going to believe me. Donkey talked to me. Sure he did. The Word of God speaking to your immediate situation. I love it when this happens. You're in the Word and you're reading wherever you were going to read. You're doing whatever it is you were going to do. And all of a sudden you find yourself reading phrases, a story, a parable, a passage. That it doesn't just minister to your life because it's Bible. It ministers to your life because it just happened. Because you're in the situation right now. You look at it and go, how in the world did this just happen? It's God talking. How does it happen? The Word of God is alive and active. And it cuts between everything in life. And it gets right down to it. And he sees you. He sees the circumstances. Shared this on occasion, I don't know if in this context, but the day that the Lord told us to start the prayer room, he said, start a daily prayer meeting tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and don't stop until I come back. It was the most life-altering word I've ever gotten. I mean, it changed everything about my entire life in about 1 second. And that night, as I'm trying to kind of process, it's a few hours later, I'm getting ready for bed, and I'm reading through the Old Testament. I was in 2 Samuel. And I was going to start reading where I had left off the night before. Where I'd left off the night before was 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'd gotten through 23. So tonight I'm going to start chapter 24. I open up chapter 24 and I cannot believe what is happening. I am shocked by what is occurring. Because God is talking to me real time about my life right now. But I've been reading through the Old Testament for months. How did this happen? When I got that word, start a daily prayer meeting tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and don't stop until I come back, I had a profound revelation. My life is over. This is going to be very costly. This is going to be a massive sacrifice. I have to get up every day for a 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Every day. Every day. For how long? Oh, just till the second coming. No big deal. This is a costly thing you are asking me to do. And I remember as I'm saying yes to him, okay, we'll start this prayer ministry. Well, okay, my life is over. Okay, I'm not a missionary in Africa anymore. Now I'm a prayer guy in Arlington, whatever the heck that is. Is that even a real thing? Is that a calling? Is that real? I'm saying yes to it, and I'm recognizing my life is over. Everything I wanted, everything I thought I knew, all of that no longer matters. Now all that matters is get up and pray. And I'm realizing this is going to be costly. And that night, I find myself reading the passage I was already going to read, 2 Samuel 24. A little bit into the chapter, verses 18 through 24. On that day, Gad went up to David, and he said, now Gad's God's prophet. So this is God telling David through Gad. On that day, Gad went up to David and he said to him, go and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord commanded. Arunah said to David, let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are the oxen for the burnt offerings. Here are the threshing sledges and the yokes for the wood. Your Majesty, Arunah gives all of this to the king. But the king replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not offer sacrifices to the Lord my God or burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I had just gotten done more or less saying those words to him that day. Okay, God, I'll offer you this costly sacrifice. Okay, I'll do it. Now, it's crazy. This passage is actually about David buying the land. He buys the dirt that the 24/7 prayer and worship ministry is going to be on later. This is him buying the house of prayer dirt to start a house of prayer, to offer this costly sacrifice. And this, I just sat there weeping and marked. I just got the wildest call in my life. And that night, just a few hours later, the Lord confirms it with his word. His word speaking to my exact situation. We need to be expecting that God does this. We need to be expecting the Bible to speak to us. Instead of going to the word in unbelief, and I don't know if he's going to talk to me. God, I'm going to pick up your active Bible that you talk through. What do you want to say to me right now? The worst that you could do is take a Bible verse out of context and still wind up better for it. Good for you. The Lord will work out the details. Just, I mean, move forward. Like, ask God to speak through his word. Ask him to speak anyway. I don't know how many times I've been in the prayer meeting over at the prayer room. Probably 1,000. And I can really say that, like, for real. That I've been in the prayer meeting, and I'm typing my notes. I'm reading the word. I'm meditating. I'm thinking on a Bible verse. I'm repeating a phrase to the Lord. And as I do in that exact second, the worship leader sings it. That exact second. Not a minute later. Not tomorrow. The second I'm saying it or reading it, they sing it. That has happened to me 1,000 times. Great reason to be in the prayer room every day for the rest of your life, by the way. To have the encounters at that level. I mean, how life-changing is it? I don't know. It's a little bit at a time. It's a brightness in the spirit. It's the word washing over me. I mean, it gives me a bright countenance. I can feel it. I don't know how many times that's happened where I'm engaging the Lord in his word. Meditating on it, reading it, typing it, something. And then all of a sudden, it's sung. That is the most bizarre thing to me. There are a ton of words in this book. How is it that that person up there on the stage is singing the word, not the concept, not the chapter, the word I'm typing? That is bizarro. And the Holy Spirit speaking. He's using the word to communicate to us. The more we engage in the word, the more we'll hear him talk through the word. I just say it again. If we're not hearing the Lord speak much, we can get in the word more and we will hear much more. Now, all of that is all good. All that is normal. I'm now going to move into some things that are really not normal. Some weird things that the Lord can do. And I don't know why he does this. But I have seen him do it. I've heard him do it. I've heard of other stories of him do it. Prophetic words that the Holy Spirit gives that are using the Bible out of context. Not in its context, out of context. And getting the work done. Communicating to us a phrase that's in the Bible that if you look at the context, that phrase has nothing to do with the way that the Lord is speaking it to your life right then. And these are the wildest experiences. And I think that this should be also part of our experiencing God. It's not the kind of thing that happens every day, but it does happen. And I think some of you, as I tell these stories, will go, yeah, I've actually had that happen before. Part of the reason we're doing this series, I want to empower you to do this stuff. I want to give you permission, expectation. I'm going to give you a little bit of a framework for some of the ways that the Lord speaks. All right, so I've been praying every day for 3 years about Africa because the Lord had been speaking to me about that. And I'm praying every day. And I kind of knew that when it was actually time to go and no longer time to pray about it, but actually time to go, I kind of just felt like the Lord would like make that clear. Okay? It was a night where Louis Giglio was doing a conference at the Arlington Convention Center. Okay? And I went, I don't even know that I was with anybody. I might have been, I don't remember that detail. I just remember that I'm in this college conference. He's, you know, preaching, he's going for it. And all of a sudden, Lou Giglio just goes, go, go, go. And he's actually giving a call to missions. But I mean, how many times can you say go and give a call to missions and everybody just say, okay, let's do it out of sheer zeal, you know? I mean, like you can only go so many times, you know? And so, but I hear him say go. And the first time he said it, I kind of was like, Lord? And he said it again and again. And every time he said it, I felt the Lord confirming, it's time. I'm telling you to go. It's time to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I've been praying about this for 3 years and now it's time? Oh my gosh. It was like terrifying. I get home that night and I'm doing my read through. Okay? And I'm in Isaiah. And I'm in Isaiah and I'm reading Isaiah 24 and I read this verse. And as I'm reading it, I'm dialoguing with the Lord. I don't know Isaiah 24 that well. I don't know Isaiah that well. I'm reading and I'm dialoguing with the Lord and I hear it says, they raise their voices. This is Isaiah 24, verse 14 through 16. They raise their voices, they shout for joy. From the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty. And as soon as I read from the west, they acclaim the Lord's majesty, I ask the Lord and I go, Lord, I'm in the west and I'm acclaiming your majesty. I'm one of your messengers. I know you just told me I'm supposed to go. Lord, I say this to him. I say, Lord, if it talks anywhere about the east, I'm going to know I'm supposed to go to the east. Because I know I'm supposed to go to Africa, which is very east from here. Therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. Check it out. People in the west are acclaiming the Lord's name. Therefore, east, now you will give glory to God. It's the call to mission. I'm seeing it. I'm going, this is my call to Africa. I am supposed to be one from the west who goes to the east, and because of my going, I'm supposed to preach Jesus, and as a result, they're going to give glory to the Lord, and they weren't before. That's totally not what this Bible passage is about. Not at all. This is completely out of context. And it's one of the most meaningful moments that I've had in my walk in Christ. It's totally out of context, but the word is alive and active, and God can talk through a donkey if he wants to, okay? So, let me give you, this one's tougher. I'm glad I gave you that one first, because now you think this is a good idea and like this can happen, okay? All right, so there's this cute girl. Now, I've known this cute girl for a long time, okay? About 7 years. And I have never in my life ever, honestly, thought of this girl as a cute girl that I should be interested in. Never. And there's a lot of good reasons for that, actually. I mean, she was one of the youth in the youth group. Okay, that's a real good reason to not think of her as a cute girl. All right? And one day, we're doing a prayer meeting over at the house, and I see Amy for the first time. Like, I see her as this godly young woman who I might have had a little bit of help in discipling her into that particular role and characteristic, but whatever. I see her and I go, I said, that is a godly woman. And as soon as I see her, I have this flood of like, what? You don't look at her that way. What is wrong with you? And as soon as I say that, I hear the Holy Spirit say, that's your wife. And I go, oh, no. Whoa, hold up. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. This is bizarre. Like, what? I can't even handle this. And the meeting's over in 30 minutes or an hour, whatever. Everybody goes home. And I go back in my room and I go, Lord, I can't believe that what I think you just told me. How can this possibly be true? I said, Lord, if you confirm it right now, I'll ask her out tomorrow. Having never thought of this idea ever in my life. I said, if you confirm it right now, and as soon as I did, as soon as I said that, oh man, I heard the Holy Spirit drop one of those Bible addresses into my spirit. I just saw it clear in my mind. I saw it in my mind's eye. Revelation 17, 18. And I went, isn't that like in the weird part of Revelation? I'm like, I don't know about this. I go, this is, no, I need a real word. I need a real one. Not whatever you're doing right now. I need a real one. Come on, I'm like, this is, if we're talking about my wife, if we're talking about like this is going to be the woman I'm supposed to marry, I need you to be for real. This is not a time to play. And I just felt the Lord say, look it up. Oh, are you being serious right now? And I opened the word to Revelation 17, 18. Again, the entire conversation I'm having with the Lord is this girl that couldn't possibly be my wife, is this girl my wife? And I look in Revelation 17, 18, it says, the woman that you saw is the great city. The woman. I was talking to you about a woman. The great city, not a city. The great city. Now, it's a good thing that I did not know the context. Which the Lord can use our understanding and he can use our ignorance. Because had I known the context, I would not have been able to receive this word because it's actually about the harlot Babylon at the end of the age. Whatever. Another one of those moments that the word of God is alive and active. I read it and it struck my soul. I asked her out the next day. The rest is history, sort of. There's a couple of blips in there, but you know, whatever. The Lord can use the word out of context. Drop a Bible verse into that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. The woman that you saw is a great, I mean, but it's clear enough, right? I mean, Eric looked it up ahead of time. I saw him and he goes, oh yeah, that's it, that works. He's like, yeah, that's a little weird, but yeah, it works. I mean, like the Lord communicates, he speaks to us. He speaks one way and now another, but we don't perceive it. I want to perceive it. Give you another one. This was a tough one. This was so beautiful and so tough. Amy and I had gone through a couple of miscarriages and we were pregnant for the third time. And there were a lot of reasons I don't want to go into that we really felt like we were probably going to lose this baby too. And we'd had enough leadings and stuff. We felt like the Lord had shown us the gender of the previous two. We lost them early. But we named them and like remembered these two precious kids. So we felt like the Lord had given us gender and even names for these previous two. And so we're pregnant with the third, and we felt like the Lord gave us the name, really felt like it was a boy, and really felt like we were supposed to name him Jacob. And I would never name my kid Jacob. Like, I would not do that. That's not me. I would not do that. And so, but it was the Lord. We felt really strong, like, this is what we're supposed to do. And so, we're kind of, like, going through a little bit of a tough time, and we start to experience some of the onset of a miscarriage. Like, and we know it well, because we've just gone through two in the last couple of years. And we're praying, everybody's praying for us, but there were two moms, intercessors, moms, that started going for it. They were praying like crazy. They were laying hold of this, and they are praying for this baby's health and full term, and they are praying like crazy. And one of them is Brett's wife, Amy Ader. And one night she calls us, and we're you know, about to go to bed or whatever, and she calls us and she says, I was in Amos, and I heard the Lord speak to me through the passage. I said, okay. I said, I'm in Amos, and I'm reading this, and as soon as I read it, I felt like it was a promise for you guys. I felt like the Lord was speaking this. She said, I want you to turn to Amos 7. Let's read the verse part of Amos 7. Amos 7, 1 through 3, somewhere in there, 2 and 3. And she read it. She said, Amos 7, 2. Said, how can Jacob survive? He is so small. So the Lord relented. This will not happen, the Lord said. And as soon as she said it, as soon as I read it, faith filled my heart. And I knew we are not losing this baby. For all the reasons that we should, we're not going to lose this baby. This one is going to live. And imagine my surprise when he became a she. And we needed a new name for her. Jacob? JC. Why not J-A-C-I instead of J-A-C-O-B? Let's call her JC. And then we learn that JC means beautiful, unexpected gift. After we've already decided to go that direction, a beautiful, unexpected gift. And the only reason we knew that is because the Lord used the Word of God out of context. That's not what that Bible verse is about. That Bible verse is about the nation of Israel. But I'll tell you what, there are very few Bible verses that are more meaningful to me than that one, because I got a baby girl who's turning more and more into a teenager. It's scary. I woke her up this morning. I was like, why are you 16? And there she is. Well, I was in a ministry context. This was not even that long ago. And there was a guy, and he was talking to me. He said, Brad, I really feel like the girl that I'm dating right now, I really feel like she's the one. He said, I'm in love with her. You know, she's godly. He goes through the list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got all these things. He says, I really, really love her. And he said, but I've got this problem. And I said, well, what? He said, well, I've been in this relationship for a year or so or whatever. But the problem is there's a girl I always had a crush on for like years who would never give me the time of day. And all of a sudden, a week or two ago, she started expressing interest in me. I said, who cares? I said, that's dumb. I go, you already got the girl. I go, what are you doing? She said, yeah, but I'm really confused. I go, well, don't be. I go, it doesn't matter that this other girl, does she know you're in a relationship? Yeah. I said, doesn't that bother you? That she's like trying to weasel in on this relationship. You're already in a relationship. Things are good. He said, yeah, but I'm so confused. I said, don't be confused. He said, well, what do I do? And I said, well, look, we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask the Lord for a word right now. And he goes, okay. And as soon as I close my eyes and I pray, I say, Holy Spirit, speak. As soon as I did, I heard the Lord drop a Bible verse into my address right into my head. Just like the, you know, Revelation, you know, whatever. Just right into my head. Proverbs 5:20. Now, I don't know Proverbs 5:20. I mean, I've read the book of Proverbs a bunch, but I don't have it like all memorized. There's a lot of Bible verses in the Bible, okay? So I don't know Proverbs 5:20, but I said, hey, bro, look, I just felt like the Lord said Proverbs 5:20. Let's open up together and let's look at it. You open up to Proverbs 5:20, and it says, why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? I said, well, I'll be darned. He said, what do you think it means? I said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Well, I'm confused by that. Well, don't be. It's really clear. We were just having this conversation. The exact phrases even. I mean, like, what is wrong with you? Well, I don't know what that could mean anything. Friend, I think you have decided you want to go wayward is what I think you've decided, because I think the Lord's making it clear. Guys, I want us to start expecting this stuff to happen. These aren't all the stories. There's a thousand of these. There's just some fun ones. We need to make an investment in the Word of God. You got to read the Bible. We got to meditate on the Bible. We got to sing the Bible. We got to pray the Bible. We got to memorize the Bible. It's the language of God. He wants to talk to us, but he can't talk if we don't know the language. And he's not going to teach us the language. He's going to give us according to our hunger. And if we're hungry to learn his language, his word, he'll talk to us through it in increasing measures. And I'll just say it this way, the word of God will pay dividends forever. It will pay dividends forever. In those moments that you're learning it, you'll get touched. Later that week, you'll remember it. You'll get touched. 10 years later, you'll get touched. I am so thankful for the radical investment I made for years in the word of God. Years, hours and hours every day. I am so grateful years later having that as a reservoir. It's in the well, all of it. And the Lord pulls on it. And I'm able to draw from it. It's amazing. Put up that Psalm 119, 103 through 104. We know the verse. You guys know the concept at least. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. The more you invest in the word, the more it will invest back in you. The more that it will give language for the Holy Spirit to speak and breathe and lead. Guys, our lives are a combination between the supernatural and the mundane. Don't just live in the mundane. And there is no such thing as just living in the supernatural. I appreciate the wildfire guys that everything is supernatural. It's not true. It's not like that. Life is a blend of the ebbs and the flows. The waves goes out, the waves come in. We need to learn how to operate in the supernatural in a Tuesday. To operate in the normal parts of life, asking the Holy Spirit to speak. And I want to just tell you, you would be wise to invest in the Word of God because it will invest back in you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.